This is WABF, and it's time now for the Conservative Watchdog Weekly News Review. This program is brought to you by Spriggs Enterprises, featuring the Shell gas stations on Highway 98 in Daphne and in Malbus with a state-of-the-art car wash. This program is hosted by Commander Deacon Deke Cox, U.S. Naval Retired Intelligence Officer. And good morning, Deke.
Good morning, Lori. Good morning, Judd.
Good morning, Deke. Good morning, Lori.
You've got Judd Bakley in here with no microphone. That doesn't work too well.
Hey, good morning out there, everybody in Radio Land. Welcome to Conservative Watchdog Weekly Review. We are, today's show is Alabama Health Freedom, School Choice, and Beware, Large Falling Objects Ahead. So, on December 5th, Dr. William Mackus, who runs the COVID Intel website and newsletter out of Canada. He's a oncologist and radiologist in practice up in the province of Alberta, and he has been very on the money when it comes to finding documented cases of vaccine-related injuries and deaths related to the COVID vaccines. And so he publishes a newsletter, daily newsletter, sometimes multiple times a day, and is very good on making the rounds on, you know, the talk show circuit on, you know, what he sees in the data and how the irrefutable evidence just keeps piling in about these excess deaths related to the COVID vaccines. And so on December 5th, he put out a notice, and he's been very good about this. He's particularly pays very close attention to trends in populations that were forcibly mandated to take the vaccine. And so one of those groups was commercial pilots and air crew. And so on December 9th, he published an article on COVID Intel called Pilot Incapacitation, and he actually cites the flight. It was a Ryanair flight, RK8528, flying from London Stansted in the UK to Morocco on December 5th. And the pilot felt unwell. The crew diverted to Faro in the south of Portugal, and they did land safely. And then they took the co-pilot out to a hospital and made sure he had the help. But what's interesting about this is as we go down and we're looking at this, you know, Dr. Mackus notes that this is the fifth pilot incapacitation in 3 weeks. And now, mind you, these are large commercial aircraft. You know, in this instance, they were flying a 737-800. Those seat, you know, 200 to 300 people. And, you know, it's about a 70, well, depending on how you have the thing dressed out, it's either a $60 to $70 million airplane. So not an insignificant risk to the asset and first and foremost to the traveling public. But then he goes on to say that not just is this the fifth pilot incapacitation in 3 weeks, he goes on to list pilot incapacitations and deaths from October to November 2023, and then actually references a couple of earlier articles from earlier in 2023, where all told we've had over 40 pilot deaths and pilot incapacitations. And this is, mind you folks, this is just the pilot and the co-pilot. And so in commercial aviation, I mean, Judd, can you remember a time ever that we would have had even five pilot deaths or incapacitations and there not be huge outcry from the traveling public, from regulators?
Deke, if an incapacitation or some situation happened in an aircraft in the military, one, all of those aircraft would be grounded, mm-hmm. and there would be a thorough investigation of what transpired. In fact, Ospreys right now have been grounded by the Marine Corps.
Right, for a crash off Japan about 10 days ago. Yeah.
So whether it's a pilot thing or whether it's a mechanical thing, is it's incredible. I mean, the excess deaths, period, as you so ably and consistently pointed out, are incredible. They're incredible.
Mm-hmm. So let me build on that. Thank you, Judd. So, you know, so it is incomprehensible that we would be seeing this level of death and dying and incapacitation. And not only that, we're talking about the majority of these in flight. He you know, Dr. Mackus points out at least 20 diversions just in 2023 where planes had to land. And in a couple of instances where the pilot literally became incapacitated, felt unwell, backed off the flight deck, went to the laboratory, and like collapsed and died in the laboratory mid-flight, the captain of the aircraft. And so this is, you know, this is a big deal. And the point here is
there's no statistical history of anything like this happening just because, oh, well, a bunch of weird factors happen to come together. It's just a correlation. There's no cause and effect here.
That's right.
A cause and effect, and you've pointed it out again and again and again.
Right. So the, you know, we did the math on this, and in those number of flights, so, you know, if you figure, you know, 40 to 45 flights, we had somewhere in the neighborhood of 10,000 passengers that would have been embarked on those affected aircraft. That's over $3 billion in flying assets at risk in the moment, okay? And it's just unbelievable that the mainstream media will not even cover this significant health freedom issue. And you know, furthermore, two of these incidents that Dr. Mackus actually writes about in that December 9th article, two of them involved smaller commercial aircraft that were single pilot only. And when the pilot had their medical emergency at the controls, the planes crashed and the passengers and the pilots died. And so, you know, that's just two this year where, you know, clearly the fail-safe on this is that you've got a co-pilot that should ostensibly be well-qualified enough to take the controls and land the aircraft capably and ably and safely. But what if they're not? What, and not just that, what if it happens at a critical moment in flight? I mean, Judd, from your military background and mine, we both know how critical it is, you know, at any moment, you know, if you hit turbulent weather, you're taking off or landing. And a couple of these instances, by the way, happened when pilots had just landed the plane and literally got up from the flight deck and collapsed and had a heart attack on the spot, right? Yeah, unbelievable. So, you know, I go on to write, and this is where I'm, you know, talking about the issue with my analyst distro, my analyst group. And so initially after seeing that article on December 9th, I made the comment to my group. I said, if this is going on in commercial aviation and Congress and the regulators can't do anything, right? We've seen nothing. The mainstream media won't cover this. You know, Congress certainly knows about it, but yet they're doing nothing. And so, you know, I pose the question, if this is going on in commercial aviation, what's going on in military flight and recreational flight? You know this must be happening there. Well, a few days later, so let's see, earlier this week on December 12th, Russell Brand in an issue or an episode of Stay Free played video from a Lieutenant Ted Macy, a Medical Service Corps provider in the United States Navy, where Lieutenant Macy is citing the Defense Medical Epidemiology Database, where they are reporting a 1,000% increase in heart failure in active duty rotary and fixed wing pilots from 2022 to 2023, just from last year to this year, a 1,000% increase in heart failure. And then they go on to say, you know, so, and this is measured against a 5-year DMED average, okay? But then we go to see where, you know, this is, you know, myocarditis is up 151% in active duty pilots. Cardiomyopathy up 152%. Ischemic heart disease up 69%. Pulmonary heart disease up 62%. Hypertensive disease up 36%. This is unprecedented. Unprecedented. And it all is tied back to the vaccines. We know this. And so my call to, you know, my all our fans in Radioland, our listeners out there, you know, is, you know, the House Armed Services Committee and the Senate Armed Services Committee should be all over this. They should be screaming 24/7 nonstop to the Pentagon, scheduling hearings, demanding answers, launching urgent investigations and insisting on rigorous analyses of the problem. And, oh, by the way, how to address the challenge. And we are hearing nothing.
They're all lapdogs of their woke masters. and the owned, bribed sheep media do nothing but say, nothing to see here. Why report on something that doesn't exist? And if something does exist, guess whose fault it is? Donald Trump.
Right. Well, we all know that it's an egregious lie. And so, you know, what we're asking folks is, you know, go look up. You can find Dr. Mackus on Substack. He writes a fantastic daily that is just, it's a, you know, not that we want to dwell on the dark and the terrible, but, you know, it is a irrefutable running dialogue of what we're seeing on the health freedom movement, from a catastrophic adverse reaction to the shots and to, you know, the whole COVID restrictions and lockdown thing. It is just unbelievable, folks. So this morning, we are honored to have Stephanie Dernan from Alabama Health Freedom. She is co-founder of Alabama Health Freedom, joining us here in the studio. Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning, Dee. Good morning, Judd.
Good morning, Miss Stephanie. Good to see you.
It's good
always
to see
is.
You.
So, Stephanie, you're back freshly from your fresh travels. You were up at the Capitol in Montgomery this week to visit Scott Harris in ADPH. How did that go?
Montgomery, the land of darkness, as we should say.
Has local darkness, anyway.
Local darkness, mm-hmm. Spiritual darkness. You know, we were at the RSA Tower in Montgomery, and it's amazing how those public health minions up there live in that glass tower, completely devoid of all actual reality. The public hearing went about as I expected. The way it works is there is a public hearing officer who is one of the attorneys in the Department of Public Health, and they have a stenographer there to take notes on everybody's comment. So there were a handful of people there. Of course, this
Well, why were we there? Why were we there in the first place?
I should explain to your readers. Yeah. Yes, I should start at the beginning. The beginning is always the best place to start, isn't it?
Yes, that's right.
So,
usually.
The Department of Public Health issued a proposed rule change that would modify how COVID-19 is reported in this state. And they want to eliminate some of the COVID-19 reporting measures. So since July or August of 2020, it has been mandatory for all COVID positive tests, all COVID negative tests, as well as any presumed positive test, to be sent to the Department of Public Health for tracking. They want to eliminate a good majority of that, thank goodness, but it's our argument that all COVID-19 tracking should be eliminated completely across the state. So they want to keep tracking the, quote, congregate living facilities. Now, most people, when they think of the term congregate living facilities, Judd, what's the term that you, what do you think of the most?
Restaurants. I mean, you know.
Microphone.
The elderly,
yeah, right.
The elderly.
Right. And that's what most people think that this has to do with, is nursing homes. But it doesn't. The term congregate living facility, as defined by the Department of Public Health, listen to this, Deke.
So this is ADPH.
This is ADPH. Okay. The term congregate living facility means a facility where persons reside and share common spaces with other residents. Congregate living facilities can include, but are not limited to, so they can make up their own definition again later, residential care facilities, assisted living facilities, intermediate care facilities, skilled nursing facilities, jails, prisons, shelters, mental health facilities, dormitories. Did you get that? College dorms,
yeah.
And resident summer camps. So if you send your kid off to summer camp in Alabama, guess he's going to be tracking your the health of your child while he's there. ADPH.
Scott Harris.
Mm-mm. If you've got a college student living in the dormitories in Alabama, and guess how many we have?
Oh,
about 27,000 or 28,000 students
living in dorms.
Alabama, statewide living in dorms. But, you know, that would also cover all of the Greek systems, too, the Greek houses. So you add that number.
What about scout camps?
Scout camps. Absolutely. All of those Boy Scout camps.
So all the way down to, like, you know, 6, 7, 8-year-olds at Cub Scout camp and
absolutely
Boy Scout resident camp. Unbelievable.
Yep. If your mom needs to go get a couple of days worth of maybe some skilled rehab after a bad fall or a break, ADPH is going to be monitoring her. If she has a presumed diagnosis of COVID, doesn't even have to be a positive, worthless test. So
here's the thing, Stephanie. Congregant means nothing except what they decide it means today.
Absolutely.
Next week, 2 weeks from now, a congregant will be any congregation, no matter how temporary, and that will include restaurants. Will include any place two people come together, no matter how briefly. That will be how the definition changes. I guarantee you.
Well, they did the same thing in COVID, Judd. They did the exact same thing in COVID, and it was all open to government interpretation. So exactly. Stephanie, please tell us that this has not passed yet.
It hasn't. The proposed rule change, the public comment period is open until January 4th. If you go to www.healthfreedomalabama.com, register as a member, it's free. And we'll put you in contact with a template form email that you can send off. It takes 20 seconds to copy and paste and send so that you can register your displeasure with ADPH and tell them to eject all COVID-required notifications in this state. Not a single person in this state needs to be tracked or monitored for their COVID status. And, you know, if we have a loss of freedom for one, there is a loss of freedom for all, and we will absolutely continue to hold ADPH accountable.
You know, I have a saying for that. Would you like to hear it?
Of course.
Our government is backwards. We're private citizens. The government should know nothing about us. That's what the Constitution says. It's designed to protect, you know, Stephanie and Deke and Lori and Judd and you know, all of our listeners out there. They, our government representatives, are public servants, and we should know everything about them. Everything. And so it's interesting when we look at this ADPH meeting and when they scheduled it, 9 a.m. on a work day, in between major holidays, they didn't want anybody getting into their business. I mean, listen, folks out there in radio land, understand that your government and these unelected bureaucrats led by Scott Harris, who, by the way, nobody wanted reappointed. The government did it anyway, you know, because BCA and the lobby were advocating for him. And they did it. They really ran an end run around public complaints. They just shut down public comment on it and reappointed him anyway. Okay, so this guy's a tyrant. He's a proven tyrant. He's your COVID tyrant. And now he's been reappointed here in the last year. And look at what he has up his sleeve right now. He wants to track Granny and Grandpa and your kids at summer camp.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is ridiculous.
Oh,
Stephanie.
And make no mistake, they'll use those numbers to impose future mandates and future. Mm-hmm. I mean, they'll just keep going and going and going. And they
will use this
forever.
That's right.
Deke, do you know how the State Department of Public Health is organized? I am going to shock you.
Mm-hmm. You
won't be able to see this in Radio Land, but for once, I will stun Deke, and his jaw will be in his lap.
All right, I'm standing by.
Okay. So our State Department of Public Health has three names. The first name is the Medical Association of Alabama, which is a private medical association. And the State Department of Public Health is also known as the Medical Association of Alabama, which is also codified and known as the State Committee of Public Health. The Medical Association is a private medical board, and 12 appointed members on this private medical board are responsible for appointing the state health officer in Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
They also set his salary, which is $328,000 currently. It's paid for by state tax money, but the state people do not have any jurisdiction or supervision over this private medical board.
That's pretty juicy for a public servant.
Right.
$328,000 a year. Wow.
But this agency is acting as a state Department of Public Health, but there's nothing public about this public health. Additionally,
it's like the Fed.
Oh, it gets better.
Yeah.
Additionally, since they are not a state agency, they are allowed to have their own lobbyists, and they also have their own PAC, which gives campaign contributions to our state legislators. It's called ALIPAC. We are the only state in the entire nation
it's
who
really,
has it set
it
up like this.
It should be renamed ALIBRIBE.
Oh,
that's
oh, yeah.
just me being
Absolutely.
Me.
That's right. You know, we have a new hashtag going right now. It is hashtag shut down Scott Harris. We're sick of Scott Harris shutting down us. We're going to shut down Scott Harris. It's time for the people to act. It's time for people to contact their legislators and tell them they want the ADPH reformed and Scott Harris appointed by the governor and confirmed by the Senate.
Okay, I like it. So, real quick, we've got 2 minutes. Okay, tell us about the meeting on Wednesday morning at 9. Did it go on as planned? How many people showed, how many of the public showed up? Did you get to speak? You know, just a quick thumbnail sketch of how'd it go, Stephanie?
Well, it went about how I expected it to go at 9 o'clock in the morning in the middle of a work week between two holidays. We had a handful of people there. There were 4 or 5 of us spoke, and actually, State Representative Ernie Yarbrough, who has been a champion for health freedom, spoke and had a very eloquent speech that was highlighted on 1819 News as well. If you go to our Facebook page, you can look at the we went live and videoed the entire thing as well.
They allowed you to stream from the meeting?
We did, yes.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah.
Okay.
So with my limited Facebook live streaming abilities, that's what we were able to do. However, what Wednesday did not highlight was the hundreds of emails that people across the state have submitted to the Department of Public Health for their comment in opposition to current tracking measures and to keeping COVID tracking measures going on in the state.
Wow. So thank you for that update, Stephanie. Thank you for going to represent us. Okay, so at this point, folks, I'm going to put out a action alert, okay, and Health Freedom Alabama and Stephanie are real good about generating these as well. But as Stephanie mentioned there at the beginning of the dialogue, go to healthfreedomalabama.com, the template for emailing your position and submitting your feedback to ADPH and Scott Harris is right there. Please, you know, it's right there, folks. Just go in and use that tool. And also, Stephanie, can you please tell us, so this is a call, right, for people to turn hundreds to thousands and tens of thousands if we can.
Absolutely.
You know, make it rain, folks, make it rain, okay? Put the word out through your local and family networks and make it rain on Scott Harris and ADPH. We need to make those hundreds of voices turn into thousands of voices.
Yeah, we need to shut down Scott Harris.
Not only that, we need to change the system. We need to go to our legislators and change that system of those 12 appointed board members having so much authority and power over this position.
Crooked.
It's ludicrous. It's
absolutely crooked. Okay, Stephanie, thank you so much for joining us. Please tell us, what else, we're still looking to get the Alabama Health Freedom Act approved or submitted so you can sign the petition. Where?
Yep, you go to healthfreedomalabama.com/petition, and you can sign that petition to help us pass the Alabama Health Freedom Act, which would stop discrimination based on your vaccination status here in Alabama.
Fantastic. So both of those tools are on Alabama Health Freedom. Also want to encourage folks, man, if you can chip in a small donation to Alabama Health Freedom, please do, because the work that Stephanie and the team at Alabama Health Freedom our undertaking is for all of us. It's for all of our behalf, our children, our families, our communities. They're out there, you know, getting on the road at 5:30 in the morning and driving to Montgomery to make this happen. And that, you know, that does take a little bit of money and time. So if you can, please chip in and support Alabama Health Freedom. I know that they would appreciate it. Stephanie, thank you so much.
Thank you, Deke, and thanks, Jed.
Hey, Stephanie, I'm going to tell people something that I've known since about the second minute I got acquainted with you. And that is, and you already heard me say this, and thank the Lord you haven't blown it off. It's something that's just implausible. Stephanie Dernan for governor just a few years down the road. I mean, seriously, that's not a figure of speech.
It really is, Jen.
See, okay, here you go. You're a beauty. Thank you.
Thank you for the compliment, Jen. Right. I appreciate you.
All right, folks. So, again, Alabama Health Freedom and Stephanie Dernan.